Wednesdays, we're joined by Terry Savage, the money lady, the author of Social Security Horror Stories, the syndicated columnist. You can find her at terrysavage.com, and we find her on WGN's Wintrust Business Lunch. Hi, Terry Savage.
Hello. How do you like this headline? Gold up $104 an ounce to $3,344.
Yeah, I heard Steve Ruxton mention that earlier, and I thought of you because you note that price every now and then.
I do, and a month ago I wrote a column. It's up at terrysavage.com. I titled it whimsically, An Ode to Gold, as it broke through 3,000. It's a sign that the world is skeptical about the dollar. The dollar is falling against major currencies. Interest rates rising just a little right now amidst, well, fears of inflation easily from the tariffs, but also fears of what's going on in the United States. Do we really want to invest there? Is this still the safest place in the world? Or should we hedge our bets by buying gold? So that's what's going on out there. Don't take my word for it. The market is where money puts its mouth. And the market is saying, to the dollar and go gold.
Well, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked a week ago. And that was, well, did we miss it?
No. And I said no. And I still believe no. I believe this is the beginning. I don't.
But what if the world corrects itself? But what if all of this nonsense ends and the markets recover?
You know what? The nonsense is imprinted on the markets now. The vacillations, the reversals, the irrational economic decisions. I am not talking politics. I'm talking money and markets. All of that has made an impact on friends and enemies alike, on Democrats and Republicans alike, on thinking people, and it's created uncertainty. And for millennia, not just the last few years, not just the last 100 years, not just since America, but since the Roman Empire, gold has been the refuge of those who want a commodity that cannot be created or destroyed and has held its value over the centuries.
But if you think the gold is going to hold its value, then aren't you also saying that the dollar is not going to recover and the markets aren't going to recover?
Well, stock market can recover. The dollar isn't crashing right now. I mean, let's think about it. In November, the dollar was 102 against the euro. It's now, last I looked, 113. So we've had about maybe a 10% downward move in the value of the dollar against the euro, for example. Let me just do a little sidebar here. People are going, wait, what? What does that mean? Explain that. Well, here's the thing. We have a $35 trillion national debt. We finance that by selling treasury bills, notes, and bonds. And in recent years, under both political parties, we've had budget deficits that we also borrow money for that adds to the national debt that has really moved that national debt to this huge number. And how do we do that? Well, every week we sell treasury bills, 6 months and 3 month T-bills. Every month we sell 2 year treasury notes and 5 year notes and 10 year notes. And occasionally we sell longer term bonds. And I always tell you to buy them, go to terrysavage.com. It shows you how to buy T-bills. But how's that rate set? That rate is set by a huge auction because hundreds of millions of dollars are at any one time or billions are auctioned off. When the rest of the world is nervous, in the past, central banks, big hedge funds, global money managers have said, we don't want to be in the stock market. We'll do something safe. We'll buy the safest thing in the world, U.S. Treasury bills. The more people that come in to buy, the lower the rate the government has to pay. If there weren't buyers around, the auction rate would go up and up until it could attract buyers. That's starting to happen. Fewer of the smart money, big money players around the world are saying, let's park it in the safest place. It's treasury bills. A lot more are looking around and saying, maybe we don't want to hold our money in dollars. We'll hold it in euros or we'll hold it in yen. So it's not something, we live in dollars. We pay for gas in dollars. We shop in dollars. We save for retirement in dollars, so forth. But the big money in the rest of the world gets a choice. And it's choosing just on the margins. This is not a crisis yet. But on the margins, it's saying, I don't think we want to hold dollars. I think you're going to have to pay more to get us to buy your treasury bills. And that has huge implications for the future. Not for your future and my future. We will live in dollars. But other countries were at some time in history the centerpiece of world trade, the pound sterling until World War II. Everything was denominated in sterling. Or the 15th century, it was Spain ruled the world with its ships and its gold from the New World. We, the dollar, have ruled the world since World War II. Oil's priced in dollars. Trade is done in dollars. Everything is versus the dollar. And if we lose the respect of the world, the respect for our system of laws, which guarantees our markets, even if we're not talking about the laws about the markets, we're talking about other laws that you see in the headlines, that all calls into question the desirability of America as a currency to hold, as a place to invest, and as a place to be the center of the world's financial system.
Lots of questions in for Terry Savage. You can call, too, 312-981-7200. Terry, before I got to get to the questions, anything else you want to make sure I hear?
I just got a blog post. It was just like you get questions. So I was, during the break, was checking. I want to read this in full because it will set the tone for anything I have to say at Social Security. I won't give the name, of course. I never do. This just came at 12:31. Hi, Terry. My husband and I were both signed up by phone for Social Security. He was signed up before September 21st, 2021 by phone. Do we need to have an online account? Are we at risk for losing our benefits? Do we need to purchase a computer now? We still pay our bills by check. We have been very wary of putting all our financial information online. Even if I buy something online, I use a credit card with a $1,000 limit. Do we now need a wired computer dedicated to just our finance? Is wireless okay or more vulnerable? Thank you. Okay. This will give people, we have a pretty sophisticated audience here, but this will give you an idea of the panic that has been caused among the people who are most paying attention to Social Security. I guarantee you 30 and 40 somethings are not having any angst over what's going on in terms of phone numbers and standing in line and getting into offices at Social Security. They've probably given up on it anyway. But the people most impacted are generally the people least financially savvy and technology savvy. So I want to make four key points very clear. Number one, if you are already getting benefits and they're dropping into your bank account, no more paper checks, dropping into your bank account, you do not have to do anything. You do not have to re-register. You do not have to prove anything. You do not have to have an online account. You do not have to call. If you're getting your benefits, thank you, stay out of the way, and make sure you spend them and pay taxes on them, period. If you need to register for the first time for Social Security, your retirement pension, your disability, or anything else, the latest word as of Monday is you can still do that by phone, but, it's a big but here, they are doing some kind of a fraud check. Do not ask me what it is. They haven't told us. If you are one of the small percentage that are flagged by fraud, then they will tell you and you will have to come into the office. But otherwise, you can still apply for your benefits by phone. Finally, do not change your Social Security banking information. It used to be you could do that by phone. Oh, I closed my account at Chase and I opened it at Wintrust. Do not change your banking information, even if you keep the account open, only to collect that benefit and then you move the money. Because now you no longer can do that over the phone. You can do that only in person or online. So if it started and it's going fine, don't connect them. And then, point four, yeah. If you got all these, point four is online accounts. It's a good idea, but not right now because they're so messed up and their website keeps crashing, so don't do this now. It's a good idea to have a Social Security online account. It's called My Social Security. If you read the top column at terrysavage.com, it's called Social Security True or False. I just updated it 2 days ago. I keep updating it. There's a link to open that account. So if you think you need an account to check to make sure your work history is correct or something else, you can do that. There's a new way to set up access. It's through a government-wide website, nothing new, nothing to do with DOGE, called login.gov. You use it if you need your TSA, you know, to get through the airport, or veterans benefits.
Yep.
It's very secure.
I used it.
And if you had a My Social Security account before with your own name and a password, you now have to change that and go through login.gov. And there are links explaining that in this column at terrysavage.com. If you don't need a Social Security online account right now, and you don't for any particular reason, unless you want to check something or change something, don't do it right now because the website keeps crashing, etc.
Listen to this. Hey, Terry, I'm going to Italy in June. Should I exchange money now? if the dollar's dropping, that's a good question.
That's a really good question. Probably you're wise not to take euros in cash. Nobody wants cash anymore. What you want to do is make sure that you have a credit card that does not charge a transaction fee. And you will take the exchange rate as it is when you're there. I mean, I certainly hope the dollar doesn't plunge between now and June. It could be a little lower against the euro. I see no reason it should be higher against the euro unless somebody works out some kind of an amazing deal. And even then, 10% tariffs and lots of disruptions will apply. So, there are better, more important things to think about than your spending money for that European trip. Interesting thought. I would guess, if you and I had to have a bet on lunch, that the dollar will be weaker in June. But what really hits you when you're in, you don't want cash. Remember when John, we're old enough. Remember traveler's checks?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
That's all ancient history.
Don't leave home without it.
Exactly. You need a credit card that does not charge a transaction fee. They will give you the current exchange rate when your transaction is processed. And it's hard. The major cards issued by Chase, for example, and even American Express are very good about exchange rates. But you want to make sure that there is no $3 per transaction fee kind of a thing.
Can you ask Terry if you can only buy T-bills on Mondays?
No, actually, the auction is held on Monday and your order will be filled on Monday. But if today's Wednesday afternoon and you go to treasurydirect.gov and say, I want to buy $3,000 worth of six-month T-bills. It will show you what says transact. Okay, so you'll click on that if you've already opened your account or buy now. And it will tell you the next 26-week T-bill auction, and it'll give you next Monday's date. And you say, yes, on next Monday, whatever the rate is set by these big international global financial institutions, based on their outlook for the strength of the dollar and safety of America and all that, I want to buy my $3,000. That will be transacted on Monday, and the interest will drop into your account on Tuesday. And they will, if you bought $3,000 worth, actually what will happen is they'll only take out of your account $2,998 or whatever the 6 months interest is. And they'll leave the interest there. Then when you make your order, you say, by the way, I want to do subsequent transactions. I want to schedule reinvestments. You could schedule 3 reinvestments that say, and 6 months from now when it matures, don't send my $3,000 back. Just roll it over at whatever the rate is then. You can do that for up to 3 times. And if you get in there about a week beforehand, if you need the money back before that, you could say, don't schedule a rollover.
WGN Wintrust Business Lunch. John Williams here, producer Pete, and Terry Savage are too. And so too is Terry Savage, Super Lady. One of our listeners said, I'm on the AI hook. I asked AI to create a Terry Savage action figure. She looks sharp, says Jonathan in Wisconsin. And there is the picture sent to us. We'll share it on social media if Terry likes.
Are you sure?
You look like Wonder Woman. You look beautiful. You've got a crown in one hand, a GN microphone, and in the other, a big bag of money. The city
I like
skyline
that.
In the background.
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to see it, and I hope that I will, maybe I'll just apply it to my
this could
my
be
email
your,
signature.
Your avatar, yeah, right.
Right,
exactly. Lots of questions for you. Ready, Terry?
Sure.
Can you ask her about Social Security using Twitter to send out messages now? I haven't noticed that. Are they doing that?
Yeah, the president... The president makes a lot of announcements on his Truth Social, and I forget which one recently about Social Security's plans came out on X, formerly Twitter. And it, I guess, has been determined that these pronouncements are a way of disseminating information more quickly than the congressional record, let's say, or even press releases, which we used to get, by email and think that was really immediate. So you have to stay tuned. You have to watch your media and make sure you're getting correct information. But yes, it can come from anywhere.
My husband just turned 69 in March, and our advisor said we should start his Social Security now.
No!
And mine next year when I'm 70. We are both still employed. Will it be easier to start now and possibly avoid the new, more difficult procedure later?
No.
I'm going to guess you're going to say no.
Did you hear me scream, or did you shut my microphone off?
Yeah. No, it was
It came
on.
Through.
Yeah.
Look, you're so close. Wait. Your advisor doesn't know anything. First of all, you need a new advisor, because any advisor who doesn't know this basic fact must be making other mistakes with your with the advice you're getting. I'm sorry to say this, but that's incomprehensible. Every year you wait until you're 70, you get an 8% increase in your base check. You're so close. You don't need the money. It's not like, oh my gosh, we're out of work. I just have to have that check.
All right.
You wait till you're 70 to apply. As there's been a lot of back and forth about, do you have to go in person? Do you not? The latest, as of Monday, officially from Social Security, is you will apply over the phone. You will apply the month before each of you separately, your 70th birthday, to not take effect till the month after you turn 70. And since they pay a month in arrears, it'll take another month for that check to go into your bank account. Each of you put it in your own bank account. It'll be a lot easier. Make sure it's a bank account you want to keep. I mean, you could put it in a joint account, but I really think that you need to, I know you need to each apply separately. You want to wait and start it immediately after your 70th birthday.
While living in Saudi Arabia, I bought lots of gold. Is now the time to sell it? 630, I want to know what you paid for it. But go ahead, Terry. I mean, that would matter.
If this person were on the line, I would be tempted to ask, but wouldn't. Where are you storing this gold? Because is it in the form of bars or bullion? Is it in your safe deposit box? Is it in your basement? Look, one of the things about owning, I'll tell you a story in a minute. I'll tell you a funny story
physical
about
gold,
buying gold
yeah.
abroad. But one of the things about owning gold is that you don't get any interest on the money. So I'm looking for a chart that says if you bought gold, say, in 1970 or 1980, when gold was first hit $800 an ounce, I think you, over the long run, I think I saw this somewhere, you'd be better off in the S&P 500 with dividends included than gold.
Yeah.
But in answer to the specific question, I do not think that it's time to sell gold. It's a hedge. It's not your only investment. If you get to the point where gold is better.
I think it's an interesting point you made, but it doesn't earn interest, too, which I think is
exactly.
a really interesting point.
That's why in my column I talked about owning mutual funds that buy gold mining companies, because as the price goes up, their costs stay the same, and they pay out dividends. My first foreign purchase of gold was made in Beirut, Lebanon, in 1974, and gold was $65 an ounce, and I still have in a bank vault those $20 U.S. gold pieces.
All right, let's answer more questions for Terry Savage at 312-981-7200. Short answer to this, Terry. Is Terry still thinking Social Security is not going away?
I'm praying Social Security is not going away. Like, I'm praying the dollar's not going away and that America's system of laws is not going away. I believe firmly that Congress will get its act together, and once we get through all this tariff stuff and figure out a way to bring Social Security and the taxes needed to fund it into compliance.
630 said, if Terry, does she think the companies could reduce the amount of dividends? Is that a possibility, Terry?
Oh, sure. Companies pay dividends out of profits. If there's a recession and they stop selling their product, whether it's cars or whatever it might be, and they need to conserve money to keep people on board, to keep the company going, or for whatever reason, you tend to think of dividends going up over the long run, but there are many instances of companies, I'll think of a few in the break, that have stopped paying dividends. That's usually a prelude to serious financial problems for the company.
708 said, with the dollar versus the euro, is it more expensive to travel to Europe for Americans? And I think underlying that is the fact that the dollar's gone down relative to the euro.
Yes.
So it's more expensive when you get over there then. You have less buying power, right?
Exactly. When I was over there in November, the euro was 102. So it was like when you said, oh, this thing costs $300, It was $300 and just about 300 euros. But now you really have to add at least 10%. If it's 300 euros, it's not $300. It's like $330. So when you get the bill, it looks like 300 euros, but they're going to take 300 and whatever it is out of your account to pay for it in dollars.
Terry Savage, John Williams, is this Herbert Hoover all over again? We went into a deep depression and didn't get out until after the Second World War.
Is that a question?
Yeah, it's a statement from a listener, and you may comment on whether or not you think we're going down the Herbert Hoover path, or you can pass on that. Maybe that's just commentary.
You know what? I hope not.
Several countries have travel advisories against the United States. Would a foreign country want to invest their money in a place that they're not even willing to travel to? You spoke a little while ago about investment in the United States and our selling of treasuries, and I think that's what's getting at this person here. If we are not the place that the world wants to spend its money, invest its money, does all of the rest of this make them less inclined to do so, even more so?
You know, it's shocking that America would be on that kind of list, notwithstanding the crime reports in New York or Chicago or whatever. But I have plenty of friends in Canada, one of whom is selling their house. We're not contributing to the U.S. economy. In Florida and in Arizona, the economies are generated, the housing demand, the shopping demand is in large part generated by Canadians who come down because there's no place in Canada that's warm in the winter, maybe Vancouver, but not like Florida and Arizona. And so it's not just because of it's dangerous to be in America. It's because of a growing sentiment
right.
that people don't want to spend their money. Canadians particularly.
Right. So
we're not spending our money.
It doesn't help that way. I mean, that is the politics of it. But that's how it also affects us just in terms of real dollars and cents. Stay there, Terry. We've got a couple more questions for you. One of them is from Mark, who said, can you answer a question about annuities? You have a question too? 312-981-7200. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Here's a business report from Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. United Airlines is planning to cut flights this summer as domestic travel demand falls. The Chicago-based carrier says it plans to trim domestic capacity by about 4% starting in the third quarter. For the first quarter, United posted a $387 million profit while projecting strong demand for premium cabin bookings and international travel. Unit revenue for domestic flights fell nearly 4% from last year during the first quarter. New border policies, tariffs, and government job cuts have already cut into domestic bookings. International travel to the U.S. will also be impacted this year. Suburban-based Abbott Laboratories says it will spend $500 million on two manufacturing facilities, including one in Illinois. The investment come despite new and threatened tariffs, including some on medical devices and diagnostics. Abbott says the investments will help the company boost U.S. research and development for its transfusion business. Abbott will hire as many as 200 people in Illinois. The second plant project is in Texas. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Now the business of food. Now Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you, and happy National Banana Day. Got any plans to celebrate?
Yeah, I'll be wearing my banana costume.
Really?
No, absolutely not.
Who he is and why he has every reason to wear a banana suit if he wanted to, after I thank the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today, there has never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Find out how at ChevyDrivesChicago.com. A while back on The Business of Food, I featured Cindy Kinsley, who was celebrating that her famous Hungry Monkey banana bread had gone on sale in Jewel stores.
For the first Jewel run, we used 10,000 pounds of bananas.
Where do you find 10,000 pounds of bananas in Chicago?
Adam Banana.
Well, who is this guy, Adam, I wondered. Turns out there is no Adam, as Alec Gatziolas has to explain a lot.
Every day. I always have to spell the name when I'm introducing myself over the phone or in person. A-T-O-M, not Adam the person.
The name Atom came in the 70s when James Gatziolas' company merged with Jumbo Banana and they wanted to come up with a new name.
What did you do back in the 70s? You wanted to be the first letter in the phone book, so they had to start with an A. And it was the atomic age, so they figured, okay, let's go, Adam Banana.
Alec is the fifth generation to own Adam Banana, which gets most of its bananas from southern Mexico. He says they come into Chicago green and hard as rocks and go into a huge ripening facility in Pilsen, and they'll soon go into an even bigger one being built in the old Union Stockyards area. The ripening room is where the banana's color changes to mostly yellow with a little green coloring, and then they're out the door.
If you go into any grocery store or restaurant in Chicago, there's a very good chance that that banana came through our facility.
Except Jewel. He says Jewel sells enough bananas to have its own ripening house, but there is plenty of other demand for Adam Banana's bananas.
On a weekly basis, we would distribute anywhere between 800,000 and 1.5 million pounds of bananas.
Wow.
It's a lot of bananas.
And one of the great things about bananas, and the reason they're one of the top-selling items in stores, is that they're almost the same price they were 10 years ago.
They might be 10 cents higher a pound than they were.
And they're nutritious, and they come with their own wrapper.
That's it. There's nothing easier than that. You're driving to work, you peel it back, and you got a snack.
Alec Gatziolas of Atom Banana on National Banana Day. He'll be the one wearing the banana suit.
No.
I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Talking to Terry Savage, the money lady. More questions for you. What?
Okay, quick note.
What?
Fed Chairman Powell is in Chicago.
Yeah.
Speaking at the Economic Club. I don't know what he said. I'm looking for it. But the market is now down about 600 points. So I have no idea what he said, but I don't know also what would have triggered a midday drop like this. So I am assuming that in a while we'll hear what it was that he said.
Maybe it's because he quoted Ferris Bueller, who said life moves pretty fast, and that's true. But I'll just give you a couple of lines here. The top official at the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, in Chicago, ratcheted up warnings about the inflationary effects of these trade policies. President Trump's tariffs are, quote, highly likely to spur a temporary rise in inflation. In remarks before the Economics Club of Chicago, Powell has said more persistent risks to inflation and the Fed's ability to avoid them depend on how much the tariffs end up affecting the economy. He's not going to budge right now, and the markets are going down.
There you go.
More about that a little later on, Terry, but can you answer a couple more questions from our listeners? Which would be more savvy with my cash? Invest $60,000 in 4% CD or a 6% annuity? And would I need to pay taxes on the annuity withdrawal?
That all depends on the terms of that annuity. First of all, is it in an account that's a retirement account where the is it a fixed rate annuity that guarantees you that rate for a number of years? That's an I can't even begin to answer that question.
Oh, I
post
can.
It on my blog and ask Terry blog and give me the details of what kind of annuity. Is it linked to the stock market? Is it a multi-year guaranteed annuity? Is the insurance company a strong one? All those are issues that go into that decision.
How about this one then? Mark, you're on WGN with Terry. What can we do for you?
Hi, you stole my thunder with annuities. If you have a portfolio, let's say a 100%, about how much would you suggest putting into like a 4 to 5 year long annuity at perhaps 4%? Is that wise to do that?
But the question is why you want to do that. Do you think rates are going down from here and you want to lock in the current rate for 4 to 5 years?
Yes.
Okay, but if you have the money in your IRA, you could buy a treasury bond or you could buy a fund that would lock it in. I mean, annuities involve fees and are not guaranteed. Of course, they're only guaranteed by state insurance funds, so you want to deal with a strong company. And that's like saying, I even think about that, is food fattening? Yeah, it depends on which food you're eating. So if you please write in and say, this is what I'm being offered, or if you want to check, this is my advice to everybody who really has a specific annuity question. Annuities are typically sold. They're sold because there's commissions and fees built into them.
All right.
StanTheAnnuityMan.com will analyze what you're being given and if it's a good idea for you and give you probably a better deal on other companies' annuities.
But Mark, you just want to park money. Mark wants to park money for 4 or 5 years and take 4%. And if he loses a little relative to inflation or he misses the next market swing, he's happy to do that. Right, Mark?
Correct. Absolutely correct. I want to be very
concerned
with my money.
So what's how does he do that if not an annuity, Terry?
Well, right now, 5-year treasury, U.S. Treasury, 5-year treasury is yielding 3.93%. And it's an IOU directly from the government. So I would do that. There's no reason to go through the cost and restrictions of an annuity to get that kind of, to lock in that kind of money.
I'm out of
time. You can buy a 5-year CD at your bank. I don't, the rate might be a little bit higher, but there's some, but there's a reason for that.
Okay, Mark, good luck to you on that. You can reach us next week. You can write to Terry Savage at terrysavage.com. Okay, Terry, a lot of ground covered today. Thanks for all the answers and help.
Thanks, John. Next week.